Paul, you said the other day, Ben Sherratt, you'd wait and see till this morning, but he's good to go?
Ben's in tonight, yep.
Is there a related roster move coming as a result?
Yeah, Mel Curie was put on waivers today.
You talked the other day about the success against Chicago and a real respect, a healthy respect for the opponent. What are you expecting from your team tonight and from the Blackhawks, who are on a bit of a roll right now?
Well, they're going to play their very best game against us for the year. So we need a team that's won 3 Stanley Cups, and they're pretty comfortable knowing they're making the playoffs. February can be a bit of a dragger for them. You know, they're waiting for that juice to come back in, that excitement. So having a game on their schedule that there's a little more to it excites those guys. So we're getting their best. We saw it early in the game in Chicago. We're, I believe, on back-to-back, and they were hopping on us pretty quick early in that game. And then we're going to expect that here tonight. They're going to be very, very fast and probably a simple game. They generate a lot of pucks to the net and offense early to get to our net. We will skate as fast as we can tonight, pretty much guarantee that. We will come out here as quick as we can and play as simple as we can. We think we match up reasonably well in a lot of areas, but it's almost the speed of the game for us, which is the critical piece. If you're off these guys or if you're doing any part of your game is slow, they'll just find the holes. They'll make the plays, the seam plays they make. So that quickness is the key piece to us playing with Chicago.
How does Ben Sherratt change the look of that third pairing? And do you look to maybe get them on the ice a little more, especially with back-to-backs here?
Well, we're not in a position to really coach the next game in the first one. Right now we've got to run our bench accordingly to doing everything we can to win tonight. Ben will come back in. If you knew, there's always a little unknown with the guy coming in off an injury, how he is in the first 10 minutes. Hopefully we get him out there and he gets into a comfortable groove, and he and Paul have played together. There's a known factor in their game. Just want him to play this one as simple and as fast as he can. Be physical. He's a big, strong young man. Close the gap well and move the puck as quickly as he can.
Well, when this team's dissected,
there's two mics in here today, fellas, just so you know. No fist fights. I don't want anything breaking down in here.
There's always two mics.
Okay. I only ever see one. Okay.
A word that's often used to dissect this team is culture, but it seems like a broad term. Inside that room, I imagine there's a lot of moving pieces. And where does Mark Scheifele mix in that group, because he's not a rookie. He's young, but he's not a Blake Wheeler.
So it's the structure of our leadership group is to cover kind of each aspect. Blake has a certain style of game and personality. He's a bit of the driver in that room. Dustin brings a certain excitement and joy to playing. Every night he walks out in the ice, he walks out in a good mood. He keeps the room upbeat, and he's a big personality in there. And Dustin is a very positive person. Like, he's tapping guys in the pads, trying to pick guys up. Mark is the bridge guy, so he gets barked at a little bit more by the coach. He's young enough to be able to relate recently all his experience as a first-year NHL player. And the number of times you talk to Mark said, yeah, I remember doing exactly that. I remember thinking exactly that when we're talking about our young players. So he can reach those guys. But because of his status on our team, his position, he has the respect of all of the veterans in the room as well. So that was the idea with him being able to reach all corners of our room.
Hockey obsessed. I mean, he seems to never shut things down. Is there such thing in your experience as too much thinking, too much studying, or is it just a gift?
If you find a player that has a wider band of consistency in his game, sometimes too much hockey starts to weigh on a player. You know, you tell him to get away from the rink a little bit, let it go a little bit. Mark doesn't have that. I think he's been a very consistent player for us all year, and he doesn't get bogged down by the game. He gets energized by it. He comes in excited, talking out of a goal last night. And did you see that play? It fuels him. He's a unique man. He was very professional in terms of his approach and desire to get better. Very focused, right? Started to want to train hard in the summer and moved to Toronto to get closer to his training program and never missed a day. And he's like that in all aspects of his game. I don't think it's a burden that he carries.
Last one on him. Is it I mean, when you think about, when you talk about these younger guys and where this team will be when, you know, when the Nicky Ehlers and the, and Patrick Laines are you know, in the early mid 20s, where do you see Mark, you know, evolving within that evolution of this youth movement? Like a ceiling almost. I mean, I don't want you to cap him, but I just, you know what I mean? Where do you?
There's going to come a point in time in the not too near future that that I'll probably never talk about his points. So whether he breaks the 100 points a year ceiling or he doesn't, will have somewhat diminishing returns, and it will all be about how much Jonathan Toews he has in his game, right? And that's kind of that last phase for those guys. They come in and they're skilled and they do a lot of great things offensively and they put up big numbers, and then they become the driving centerman, the, you know, that key piece, the guy that's on the ice, up a goal, down a goal with a minute left. And that will be to the extent of his game and probably our team's success, how much of that's in his game. We've seen incredible improvement in that right from the first day, his awareness defensively. More than that, his desire to be good defensively. I mean, there's a willingness to get involved physically down low, to engage more and engage quickly and get the right reads on when to engage, when to jump at pucks. Early in an offensive centerman's, he's jumping at those pucks in his own net every time. Thinks he can get it, wants to start the breakout, wants to go the other way. And as they get a little bit more seasoned, they realize there's times just to hold the front of the net, just play defense, just get the puck out. That will be, I think, what defines Mark and probably the Winnipeg Jets in the end. And I've got lots of confidence he's going to get to be elite in that department as well.
Paul, speaking of Toews, what are the biggest challenges he provides in terms of the matchup for an opposition coach?
When he plays against your best and they have the opportunity to get him out there an awful lot against your best, he can limit them completely and still score, right? He's the two-way guy with offense, so he's going to grind on every face-off. I would say when you watch his video and you watch shift after shift, especially in the playoffs, his focus is incredible. He's not going casually into a face-off ever. The puck's in his end. He's not looping up high, saving energy, trying to break the game open. He just does the right thing in the situation that he's in more consistently than most players and enjoys it. He's that focus of being in the right mindset depending on where the puck is and the score of the game. He seems to be constantly able to process that. I don't know if that made any sense to you,
no,
but
it did.
It matched the video that I got in my head on him.
No, it made plenty of sense to me, Paul. Looking at the switch, I know you talked about it yesterday with the pairings. Because Toby seems to raise the level of his partner, was that a big factor? And also with the familiarity, obviously, is a factor too, but in putting him back with Bufflin in terms of trying to help him find that risk-reward element?
So we'll talk about Dustin Bufflin. What I think maybe has gone unnoticed in the last 10 or 15 games with Dustin is that he's really working at finding a balance, right? He's a dynamic player up the ice. And you like that. But there can be it can be hard to read at times, and it can open your game up, and defensively then you're trading chances. So he's really put a lot of effort into finding that balance of, so you haven't seen him up the ice and around the back of the net nearly as often. Now, we still want him to do it. He may have taken his game to almost err on the side of caution, which there's a lot of good in that. There's also some things that aren't good in it. He's not quite as involved in the plays as he used to. But he's also very mindful of his partner and playing with the young guy. Dustin has done, and you don't ever get to see any of this, he's done a miraculous job breaking in a first-year defenseman. So we're really happy with Josh Morrissey. And his consistently level has been fantastic. Dustin was very clear, slid over to me on the boards in training camp and said, I'd like the kid. Give me the kid. I think the kid can be good. And off he went. He did a great job mentoring him. Josh has gotten to the point he doesn't really need Dustin, in my opinion. And we're going to watch it. But Josh's got a confidence level and a consistency level that we'd like to see him play with Jake. A different look for him, too. So Jake is up the ice almost and at times now more than Dustin. But he's not in zone as much, right? So he'll go in and cut it off and come back more frequently. It's going to allow Josh now a little bit of room to do some of those things that we really truly believe was his original strength on drafting, right? That's there. We think it's there. So Dustin goes back with Toby. Toby's more of a stay-at-home defenseman now, because we want to move Dustin a little bit off that conservative style of play. We appreciate it, that he's really trying to be more responsible in that department, but we also don't want to lose what he's great at, right? He can influence the game as well offensively.
Outside of the obvious...
I will give you... We'll do it again. I got no place to go. I got lots of sleep last night. We're good.
Outside of the obvious, what will you be looking for to see if Connor Hellebuyck is
right? So is the concern
right?
More that he's stealing your question? Or
just give me a buzzer. Just give me a buzzer.
I was supposed to go after...
But you know what? So here's what happens. You usually sit right up here, right? The guys who sit in this section get higher marks. He's just trying to get out of here. Eddie's just trying to get out of here. You want to come home, do the polite thing, show up to the visiting coach. He really doesn't give a rat's ass what I got to say, and he's just waiting for everybody to shut up so he can go. He knows every restaurant in this town. He's got about three lined up.
He's got the fourth and the fifth that is going down.
Kenny, you're not going to have any friends. You can hang out with me. We'll be the same.
What will you be looking for from Connor Hellebuyck to know that he's right outside of the obvious of making saves?
Well, is there a whole lot more? I mean, I'm not looking for him to feel overly comfortable early. I'd like us to give him a chance to get into the rhythm of the game and feel good. And if it's not going his way, I want him to snap back up and fight for it and compete. They're taking the mic. Isn't that nice? Every goalie has a different personality. Connor is quite a bit more competitive than you would know from talking to him briefly when you walk by. And I think... I'd like to see a little bit of that in his game without him trying to show it to you. You know, just be confident, be calm. If it doesn't go your way, snap back up, fight for the next shot, fight for the next. It's all part of, we can't afford goalies the same kind of love easily as we do our forwards because they can make 20 mistakes and believe me, you haven't noticed. But the goalie just doesn't get that option. So he has to develop a different kind of resilience. And he's looked really good in practice. He played very well in Chicago. I'd like him to do that again and again. All right, I'll see you guys. Okay.
You've had to go for a stretch without Brian Little, so I know you know what it's like to not have him. When you think about your team and you think big picture and you look down the road, can you imagine this team without him? Like, how important is he?
He is the perfect guy right now to play between the two young men that we have playing there. And there's always the chance, and I'm going to do this again, so you guys can waterboard me after about it. I'll split those kids up occasionally, which will be a scandal. But he's the perfect center iceman for those two guys. And it will be one hell of a line. It's a veteran guy in the middle, and I know you've noticed this, but his face-off numbers are drastically better than they've been in the past. He's worked hard at that. While he's a quiet man, he's a very bright hockey man. But he will talk to the kids and explain the game to them. And he has a view, I believe, of the long term. So Brian and I would talk fairly regularly since he's gone back with the young men. And he handles them differently on the bench, but very, very well. And Brian's willing to endure those things. When you look statistically at both Patty and Nick, and this isn't always true because you can talk about the last game. But whether from a coach's point of view, I think they've played very well or they struggled, they almost get the same amount of offense in those games. They generate something every night. He understands that. So it's not, hey, we had a lot of chances tonight, we played well. It's they skated, they moved, they did the right things without the puck, we played well. He's the right guy for those two in my mind. And he's also smart. So he knows where he is in his career and his contract and being the right guy between those two kids can make you a really important player for our franchise.
You'd like to have him long term. You'd like to have him.
Yes.
Thanks.
Paul, you've been asked.
If you guys want answers like that, I can do that. Eddie would love me to do that right about now.
You've been asked a lot about Patrick over the last couple of days, and he's had to answer so many questions about the way things went in the Minnesota game. He seems like he has a very low-key personality. Can that help him deal with the ebbs and flows of a rookie season?
I think he's very, very humble. So he's always going to be fairly good with the media. Like, he has no problem, and he has a great sense of the game. He knows when he wasn't very good and when he was really good, but he's still maintains a high level of confidence, and he expects himself to be that good. And to be honest with you, I'm not trying to shield Patty from the media or take any pressure off him by the way I speak. Jeff Skinner, the year he won the Calder, I don't know if 15 is the right number, but right around this year, he went a stretch of hockey where he didn't get near the puck. And every time I came into the media, I'm waiting for that question. Well, what's wrong with Jeff? And I never got asked it. I remember thinking it is so much easier to develop a young player in a quiet place than it is in Canada. But we're not developing this guy to sit in the back of the room. He's going to be front and center in front of you for the next 20 years. So he has to deal with this. He handles it very, very well. And if he has some learning curves in this, if he has some bumps in the road with the media, if somebody makes a comment that maybe his personality isn't perfect, well, then he's got to deal with that too, right? Most of these superstars eventually handle him. I think for an 18-year-old young man, he's about as good as I've seen, especially a guy who's English. He's not going to shave the perfect words off or smooth his answer, but he's funny as hell. You've noticed it. There's some really good stuff coming out of there that you don't get to hear. He's good on the bench too. He's pretty quick.
There's no concern on your part that there would be any lingering effects or concerns in his mind over the fact that he didn't play as many minutes last game. Like, it's not something he's going to carry over into this.
No, not even a little bit.
Thanks, Gary.